Middle of March 2008, we were able to, or Brother Hall came and joined us on staff, and it has been a blessing to have him on staff. Just the personality, the spirit, I just enjoy working with Brother Hall. He's a lot of fun, and he's going to be bringing the message this evening, and be careful, he might get you right, he might get you with a point. Right where it cuts you. So be looking out. And I've enjoyed Brother Hall heading up VBS skits. And this year we turned it into banana fights and, you know, such things as that. And we are looking forward to it. But it has been a huge blessing to have Brother Hall and his wife with us. And they are a lot of fun to be around. And I'm looking forward. I've told him all day long, Brother Hall, I can't wait to hear you preach, brother. I'm so excited. So I am going to get down here, and Brother Bragg's going to sing, and then Brother Hall's going to bring us the message this evening.
Final song. If I'm called to give an answer at heaven's judgment seat, then let the blood of Calvary speak for me. May it write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me wrath and judgment as it covers all my sin. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness I would plead. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me. There may be some friends who witness and speak a word so kind, but their voices would seem so feeble at such an awesome time. But there's a voice that calls for mercy, ringing through eternity. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me. May it rise where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sins. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness I would plead. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me.
I'm not grabbing a sword, don't worry.
Good night. I haven't gotten enough of that, brother. That's all right. Guess I deserve it maybe a little. Well, I just want to say, first of all, it's an incredible privilege for us to be able to come here and for us to be able to work at Faith Baptist Church. I guess I could say it's kind of a dream come true for us. And I guess more than that, you know, my wife is loved, and I'm more of tolerated around here. But we appreciate being able to come here. I mean, good night, came here, played basketball games, came here for a convention. I was thinking before I came, that first week, preacher had me get up here and pray right before a service. And before I was up here for that, the last time I was up here was for convention. And we got up here and we sang one of our songs for our senior year we sang in our quartet. And that was the last time I was up here. And, man, it's unbelievable that a week after I got hired, I was right back in the convention having a fun time with that. But in all seriousness, it's such a privilege for us to work here, a privilege to work for Pastor Angel. It's, you know, incredible to be able to work for that man. And also, it's an incredible privilege to be able to work for you guys also, be able to work with your kids. And Lee and I, we love it. Every moment we get, all the teen activities and all that stuff, we love being around your kids. We enjoy it so much, and just want to let you guys know about that. But I want to talk to you a little bit, just kind of light, but I want to talk to you about God is faithful. If you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. But I'm going to talk about God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 2 through 9. I'll go ahead. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus, Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, I'll talk to you tonight about God is faithful. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this church, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. I pray, Lord, that it just wouldn't be what I have on my heart, but, Lord, that it would be something that you have given me and something that you want me to speak about tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the service. I pray, Lord, that we'd have a good time. In your name, pray, amen. God is faithful. And you know what? I think we can all think about, in the past, somebody who probably we can consider as being faithful to us. When we think of faithfulness, we think of this person or this thing. Think of my parents. I think my dad, specifically, faithful to go ahead and provide for me through my life. Faithful to do God's work when I was alive, and to see my dad's faithfulness. Think of my mom and her faithfulness to cook, clean, love on me, kiss my boo-boos when I get hurt. But my mom was faithful. I think of Lassie. Little Timmy, when he fell down the well, it was Lassie who was a faithful dog, you know, that came and made sure that help would come, right? And maybe you can think of something or someone that's been faithful, a spouse that's been faithful. Our pastor, who's been faithful for 19 years. By the way, that's not the norm. I looked it up in Barna Research Group. They say that the average for a pastor to stay around is for 5 years. And so for our pastor to stick around for 19 years, that's an incredible privilege. Not only that, but when he goes out and he preaches, he people come out and they don't want him just to preach. They want him as the keynote speaker. But we have that as our pastor speaking to us every single week. But our pastor has been faithful. There's so many other things that we might consider faithful. A faithful car or a faithful employee. Faithful sports fans. Faithful bus kids. Faithful bus workers. We could go on and on about those that we consider being faithful. But I want to talk to you about one tonight that is faithful. I want to tell you that God is faithful. Verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to look at that phrase tonight. God is faithful. First of all, God is faithful. Philippians 4, if you could, please. Philippians 4, and then we'll look at verses 10 through 19. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of wants, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abounds. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you in odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. This is my verse right here. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, when we're talking about somebody that's being faithful, it is God that's being faithful. We're not talking about a car that's faithful. We're not talking about a dog that's faithful. We're not talking about a mere person that's faithful to us. We're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about the one that's eternal, the one that's good, that's gracious, that's holy, the one that is immutable or never changing. We're talking about the one that's infinite, that's just, that's loving, merciful, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, self-sufficient, sovereign, and wise. We're talking about something, about somebody who is far beyond us. We're talking about the person that's faithful to us as being somebody that nobody could be like. Man, when it feels like we have a situation coming up to us and nobody can solve that, guess what? God can. God can take care of that situation. And He cares for us. He's the one that loves us even more than we love ourselves. We might know someone who is faithful and might have a couple of these qualities that might be loving and might be merciful to us, but we don't know anybody that has all these qualities. The only person we know is God. He's the only one. When you're at the point when no one else can help you, God can. The situations that are impossible to us are nothing to God. So what? You think God can't help you with your finances? He only created the world. He only owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I think He could take care of us in our finances. We think that God doesn't care about our situation. The smallest situation, guess what? He has the hairs on our head numbered. He knows about your situation. It doesn't matter how small. We might consider something as being small, right? We might look at a child situation and think, oh man, I got bigger things to worry about, right? But God doesn't look at it like that. You might think that He can't work out the details to your situation, but He knows when a sparrow falls. He knows every single little thing that happens in our life, and guess what? He's big enough to change those situations. I think of when Jesus heard of Lazarus, and I preached on this before, but when Jesus heard of Lazarus' sickness, He showed Himself in three areas. He showed Himself as a prophet, as a priest, and as a king, right? He showed Himself as a prophet by saying, hey, this sickness isn't unto death. And then He showed Himself as a priest when He came and He heard that Lazarus had died. He came and He consoled. And he was able to sit next to Mary and Martha, and He was going to say, hey, it's going to be okay. It'll be all right. And He shows His compassion in the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He showed us that He can see down the road and He can see the future that's going to happen. He can take care of your problems because He knows what's happening next. But He can also take care of our problem. He can also help us by consoling us. And the last thing He shows us is that He's our King. Because not only did Lazarus, He didn't just go over there and console them and say, hey, it's going to be okay. He did that. And thank God He does that for us. But He was big enough and He showed Himself as the King by being able to take care of the situation. By being able to change the circumstances. And I don't care what the problem is that's going on in your life. God is big enough to take care of that. God is big enough to do that. God is faithful. Not just another man, but God. Second of all, God is faithful. We know that God was faithful, and we know that God will be faithful. We'll look at that. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He that calleth you. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful who shall establish you. 2 Timothy, and keep you from evil. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. God always has been faithful. George Mueller, he owned a couple of orphanages in his time. And it says here that between the years of 1828 and 1843 were surely years of trials for Craig and Mueller as they prayed in everything. All were properly clad and everyone sat down at regular meals in the houses. Mueller never incurred a debt and God supernaturally provided for everyone. A well-known story indicates the kind of life that was lived. One morning, the plates and the cups and the bowls on the table were empty. There was no food in the larder and no money to buy food. He said, "Children, you know we must be in time for school." Lifting his hands, he said, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." He had no money. He had no food. But he said, "We thank thee for the food thou art going to give us to eat." At that time, there was a knock on the door. The baker stood there and said, "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread and have brought it." Mueller thanked the man. No sooner had this transpired when there was a second knock at the door. It was a milkman. He announced that his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage. Was that a coincidence? And he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so he can empty the wagon and repair it. And it goes on and on about George Mueller and how they needed another orphanage. So he prayed in $60,000 so they could buy some property and build another building. And I want to tell you that God was faithful. God has been faithful in the past. He was faithful to George Mueller. He was faithful to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He delivered them from bad circumstances. You say, "I've got some circumstances that are going on. Brother Rex, we've been praying for him. He's got some bad circumstances." But you know what? The circumstances that these guys were in were pretty bad, were they not? They were thrown into a fiery furnace. I don't think we've had to deal with anything like that. But they were thrown in a fiery furnace, and God was able to deliver them. He was faithful to Lazarus and the woman at the well, or the woman with an issue of blood, to deliver them from bad health. They had some situations. Lazarus was pretty far gone when he was able to heal him. He was faithful to Daniel to deliver him at the time during bad leadership decisions. We're all afraid about our president and the decisions he's going to make. Well, Daniel, the decision that was made at that time was if anybody prayed, they were going to be thrown in the lion's den. But God was able to deliver him through those bad decisions. God has been faithful in the past, and we can see that. He has been faithful time in and time out. He's been faithful to all the prophecies concerning his first coming. He was faithful to the prophecy of his birth, the virgin birth, the tribe. He was born from the tribe of Judah, the seed of David, the seed of Abraham. He was born in Bethlehem. You can look down and you can see these prophecies that were told were going to happen and that they were fulfilled. He was faithful to meet the prophecies concerning his death, that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. He'll be hit on the head with a rod. He'll be slapped and spit upon. He will give no answer. And many more. He was faithful in his resurrection. You know, he was faithful to the prophecies concerning his first coming. And guess what? He's going to be faithful concerning his prophecies about his second coming. Amen. He's going to be faithful to come back. He's going to be faithful in the future. He'll be faithful to what all heaven's going to be. He's been faithful in the past. He's going to be faithful in the future. And guess what? God is faithful right now. You can take whatever that situation is, and you can't say that God hasn't been faithful before. Because God has, and He has shown us that He's been faithful. You can realize that God still will be faithful in your situation. Lastly, God is faithful. God is faithful. And then lastly, if you haven't figured out yet, God is faithful. Now, what does faithful mean? Faithfulness means worthy of trust, doing one's duty, keeping one's promise, loyal. The fact that God is faithful tells us that He will keep His promises. He's made all these promises. And the fact that the verse right here says that God is faithful tells us that He will come through with His promises. He has to if he wants to meet up with the word faithfulness. God has made some wonderful promises to us. Some wonderful promises that He will prove faithful to. I want to give you, real quick, 5 promises that God will prove faithful to. First, the first promise that He will give us, the promise that He will save you. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life." 2 Peter 3:9, if you could turn there. says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I know we're mostly home folk here tonight, but I want to tell you that if there's anybody here that's not saved, does not know that they have a home in heaven, guess what? You can have a home. That is a promise that God gives us, that if you do not know for sure that you've got a home in heaven, He has died for you. And He has that offer to everybody who comes. That promise He is giving to you. That promise He is giving to us. Those who have already been saved. God promises that He'll take us to heaven when He dies. That is a promise that He will come through with because He is faithful. The next thing, not only will He save you, the next promise that He gives is He will supply for you. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. Says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." It says that He'll supply all your need according to His riches and glory. So it all depends on the riches that He has in heaven, right? Well, I think that chances are that God can pretty much take care of the needs that we have. He can supply all your needs. I mean, I said it before, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has the wherewithal where He can meet the need that you have. What are your needs? Do you have a need that we're praying about, that we've been praying about, in the prayer request that we've been going to God with? He can take care of that. Is it a job? Is it grace in a time of trouble? Hey, is it money? Young men, young ladies, is it a spouse that you want God to bring to you? God can take care of that. Well, for most of us, God can do that. George Mueller's need, his was food. And God was able to take care of that. No matter what the difficulty that you have, what I'm trying to get at, is God is faithful and God can take care of that because He has a promise that He will supply us. The next thing, He will save you, He will supply for you, but then also, He will speak to us. John 10:27. Happens to do that every time I scoot that in a little bit. This is going a little bit faster than I had hoped. I've got eight pages. Yeah, amen. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's great. Mrs. Rigsby over here, I talked to her on Sunday, and she said, "Hey, I hear you're preaching." I said, "Well, yeah, that's a plan." And she says, "Well, should I bring my earplugs?" Well, yeah, probably. Blessing. I'll tell you what, everyone's coming up to me. Keep it short. No problem with that one. All right. But he's not. Brother Caleb told me that, hey, when you get up there, you don't even need notes. Just get up there and God will speak to you. I said, appreciate it, brother. But anyway, He will speak to us, but we have to talk to, He's willing to speak to us as long as we're willing to talk to Him. How many times do we go ahead and we run to God and we go to God and we say, "Hey, God, I need your help," or "God, I need a car," or "God, I need this, God, please," and we're so quick to go to Him and talk and talk and talk, but we don't take the time to go ahead and let Him speak to us. But how many times, I say it in teen church all the time, how awful would it be if we had a friend that went ahead and talked to us and just talked and talked, and you try to talk to him and he just turns around and walks away? I feel like that sometimes when I get home. You know, I've been working all day, especially during the summer. My wife's been at home all day, just been her and the cat. And so I walk in, I'm kind of tired, I sit down, she's ready to talk. I'm not, you know. So she's talking away, and it's a one-way conversation. Like preacher says, you're supposed to throw the ball back and forth. The ball's just stopping over here. That's it. But that's how it is. That's how it is sometimes in our relationship with God. Sometimes we go ahead and we talk to God so much, but we don't let Him talk back to us. And how important is that to our Christian growth? Man, I'm speaking to some great Christians tonight, and really, it's unbelievable for me to be able to stand here, but it's still true. From the oldest to the youngest, we still need to get in our Bibles, and we still need to have a relationship with God. That's important, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are. It might be younger if we start off when we're kids and we continue that, but it's still important for us all. God wants to speak to you. There's two parts of our relationship. Go ahead and fill out that second part of the relationship. Let Him speak to you. God promises that if you allow Him, He will speak to you. So He'll save you. He'll supply for you. He will speak to you, but also He will sit with us and comfort us. Isaiah 41, verses 10 and 13. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Verse 13, it says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Just like how He sat down with Mary and Martha, and He was able to comfort them, console them, and able to be with them at that time, God promises that He will be there for you also. God promises that no matter how bad we feel, no matter how much grace that we need, God will be there and He will comfort us. God wants to be there for you. Just like He did in the past, God wants to go ahead and fulfill that promise for you because He is faithful. God wants to do that. There's no comforter like God. There's no one that can go ahead and sit down and when you're feeling pretty awful, that there's nobody that can sit down and comfort you like God can. There's no music that can comfort us like God's music. I'm sorry, but when you're going through a situation and you feel awful, you don't want to just go down and listen to headbanging music. You want to sit down and maybe read some of the hymns, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus," "A Shelter in the Time of Storm." You want to think about those kind of songs. The songs where God will provide for us. And God has promised that He will sit down and comfort us when we need it. He'll save you. He'll supply for you. He'll speak to you. He'll sit down and comfort us. But then also, He'll shelter you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Says there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God will shelter you. He won't put anything on us that we can't bear. God's not going to put something on us, a new Christian that can't take it. God's going to shelter you and only put something on you that we can handle. I'm not preaching on child rearing or anything right now, but a father's not going to go ahead and tell a newborn to go out and mow the lawn. All right, if you want to do that, you're a parent, go ahead, that's fine. I'm not going to tell you can't do it, but no one in their right mind is going to do that. Why? Because they can't physically do that. They can't physically. Now, when they get a little older, they're going to be able to do that, hopefully. And the same thing, if a father here on earth isn't going to go ahead and do something like that to their children, our Father up in heaven is not going to do that to us either. If there's something that we can't handle, maybe in the way of a temptation, He's not going to throw that on us and make us plow through it. If we can't handle it, He's not going to put that on us. Maybe there's a step of faith that we can't handle. God's not going to make us go through that if we can't handle it. So what we need to realize is whatever He's putting in our life, whatever He's put there, we can go through that. We can go ahead and go through it no matter what it is. God has made a way and He has promised that whatever it is that He's putting on you, we can handle that. We can, because He's going to shelter us from it. If we cannot handle it, God will shelter us. That's a promise that He has made. I want to tell you tonight that God is faithful. Of all the things that God could have done, or all the things that God is, should I say, all the things that God is, He is faithful also. I want you to know that because He is faithful to save us. He is faithful to supply for us. He is faithful to speak to us. He is faithful to sit with us and comfort us. And He is faithful to shelter us from whatever we can't handle. God is faithful to do that. or sure you should be happy with that. It's 8 o'clock, but let's go ahead and bow it. If there's anything that you need to take care of, let's go ahead and do that right now. Let's bow our heads, pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd please take maybe a little bit of what I said and bless it tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would work in hearts. Lord, if there's something that maybe we think that we can't handle, pray, Lord, that we'd realize that you are faithful. And Lord, you can take care of whatever it is, and you will shelter us from whatever we cannot handle. I pray, Lord, that we would realize that, and we would go ahead and carry on with whatever you have put in our path. I pray, Lord, that you be with that. Brother Caleb.
With heads bowed, eyes closed, thank you, Brother Hall, then, for a convicting message this evening. God is always faithful to us. Are you faithful to put your faith in Him? He will always uphold you, but are you faithful to trust Him? The Lord spoke to your heart, Christian. You know what to do. Maybe there's somebody in this room that while He was talking about salvation, you realized that you weren't 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. Let me ask this question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd spend eternity? You'd say, Brother Caleb, I know that. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Just lift your hand. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Maybe put your hands down. Maybe there's somebody that could not raise their hand, and you're not 100% sure. You say, Brother Caleb, that's me tonight. The Holy Spirit came and convicted my heart. I'm not 100% sure. Just slip your hand up. I see that hand. I see that hand. Excellent. Anybody else? Maybe, Christian, the Holy Spirit came by your pew and convicted your heart. You haven't been trusting the Lord. Situations and circumstances have come up, and you've been looking to different areas and other helps in life. The world has many to offer, but none of them are faithful like Jesus Christ. You said, Brother Caleb, the Lord spoke to my heart this evening while Brother Hall was preaching. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? I see those hands, many hands. Excellent.